Welcome to Season 2 of Level With Us, where we'll be taking even deeper dives into the root causes and the intersecting issues of Central Ohio's housing crisis. Whether you're a first-time listener or a follower of the pod, thank you for lending your ears to an effort that is desperate for more attention, more voices, and more action. Everyone is affected by our housing shortage, whether you're a homeowner, a renter, a landlord, or someone experiencing homelessness or housing instability. And all of us have a role to play in fixing it. So here in Season 2, I'm bringing on more experts, community organizers, and leaders that I hope inspire more of you to find out what that role is. I'm back with Twyla Wellmaker, Outreach and Youth System Manager with the Community Shelter Board. Last week, Twyla and her colleague Steven Skivensky, Chief Program Effectiveness Officer at the Shelter Board, gave me the rundown on the state of homelessness in Columbus and Franklin County, its contributing factors, and some concrete solutions. This month, we're homing in on those unhoused in our community who are youth or young adults. It's hard to get accurate numbers that truly represent youth homelessness and housing instability. The term children and youth experiencing homelessness means individuals who lack a fixed, regular, adequate nighttime residence. So this could mean sharing housing with other people due to the loss of their own home, living in motels or hotels, staying on campgrounds, living in emergency or transitional shelters, or just living on their own.
We use the HUD definition of living in a place not meant for habitation, but we know that people are doubled up with family members and they're still homeless. We know that people are at other locations and they're still homeless, but they're not counted in the number as it relates to how HUD counts being homeless. They're not with families. That's part of the reason why we're working with them to get them engaged in our system and get them moving into some independent housing. And we have had youth who come through the system that are with families, and based on issues that are going on with their family, we've been able to get them housed with their families. And so that's more rare than the norm. But most of the times, the youth are independently looking for housing.
Last month, Stephen gave two very simple causes of our overall unhoused rate: high rent and low vacancy rates. But when it comes to youth homelessness, the causes are a little more varied, and it often amounts to an escape from familial conflict and, in the worst cases, abuse.
A lot of times youth will age out of the foster care system, and that'll lead them to homelessness. We have youth who have just had extreme difficulties and challenges at home, and so that leads them to homelessness. And then we have youth who run away just based on, again, just some of the things that are going home. There could be some sexual abuse. There can be other forms of abuse. I think those are kind of like some of the main ones, but I think seeing these young adults that age out of the foster care system, and we're trying to build our relationship with Franklin County Children's Services so that we can catch those youth and kind of like be able to have some supports in place to help them not fall into the homeless system once they age out of the foster care system.
These supports come in different forms of housing based on what an individual may need at the time. This could be transitional housing, permanent supportive housing, or rapid rehousing. We get into more of what those terms mean in episode 201, but Twyla gives us a good refresher here.
Transitional housing is housing that is meant to be temporary, and it's to help people move from from homelessness to permanent supportive housing. So it is housing that's time limited, and it comes with supportive services that include case management, job training, employment skills. They are offered counseling if they are in need of counseling, but the services are provided in an effort to help prepare them for moving on to permanent supportive housing. Sometimes it just flows that they could be in shelter and they may be getting linked up to rapid rehousing, and then a space, and I'm talking about the youth system, a space will become available in transitional housing and we can move them into transitional housing, and then they may progress on to permanent supportive housing if the space is available. So sometimes it does require all of the above. And we also sometimes have clients who rapid rehousing may not be working for them, so we have to move them to transitional housing. And the same when they're in transitional housing, they need more supportive services. They need more than what they're able to get at transitional housing. So it's just an easy move for them to transition to the next level.
No matter what, the policy that the Shelter Board and many other housing organizations, including Homeport, ascribes to is housing first. Housing first is just how it sounds. It prioritizes finding stable housing before addressing any other issue a person may be struggling with. Housing before employment. Housing before addressing addiction. Housing first.
Throughout my career, I've pretty much worked in corrections, I worked in substance abuse, and I've worked with people who, at the end of their treatment or at the end of their sentence, there's always the barrier of housing. And so if you're unable to obtain housing once you complete substance abuse treatment, it is very hard to maintain your sobriety if you have no place to go. And it's kind of the same thing when people are coming out of incarceration. That is the biggest barrier to them staying in the free world, is not having a place to go to call home. And so I feel like in my role now, this is full circle for me, because I'm able to actually work on the very issue that has been the biggest barrier for people that I've worked with for decades and decades. So housing is the biggest issue for people coming out of a lot of institutions and just people trying to get their lives on track and move forward, you know.
Housing is the first hurdle, but for many, there are more barriers ahead to achieving long-term stability. Nearly one in five people who are unhoused struggles with serious mental illness, and our unhoused youth are reported to abuse substances at a rate 2 to 3 times higher than housed youth.
Mental health is the biggest barrier to our youth being able to maintain their housing. Once we get them housed, because of the challenges that they face with their mental health, some have so much trauma that they've been experiencing even prior to homelessness, and then you have the ones who are traumatized simply from being homeless, and so they don't even recognize that they have a mental health problem or need some assistance. And so because of their lack of recognition and lack of willingness to seek some type of mental health treatment, you know, they get into situations that cause them to be in violation of program rules, and they're sometimes exited from the program. And so we see youth constantly who will come into our system, come into transitional housing. The mental health issues cause them to be exited. They come back through the system and we're rehousing them again. And we see this on a continuous basis because we can't force them to go to treatment. So we've looked at ways to incentivize, you know, youth being able to take the steps they need to take in order to go seek the mental health counseling, you know, making sure that there's culturally relevant counseling available to our youth. You know, we are definitely wanting to see them meet these mental health needs in order that they can have long-term sustainable housing. But it's just the biggest thing that we're dealing with right now within our youth system.
Where there are barriers, there are youth pushing through them. Through access to housing and, importantly, a community of other young people who know them, understand their experiences, and support them, many have moved on to find stability and even success.
We have several youth that are employed now as a result of going through our programs. We have youth that are in college. We have youth that are on several advisory boards, and some traveling nationally speaking on behalf of homeless youth in this community. I oversee and work with the youth from our Youth Action Board, and these are youth with lived experience. And so I'm seeing these youth be able to be involved in all levels of system decision making and be a part of the broader group in where decisions are being made for them. Their motto is nothing for us without us. So we want to be able to bring them to the table when we're talking about what does it take to help youth navigate successfully through our system. And so I personally believe that we are having successes, but maybe not as many as I would like to see, but we definitely are seeing some youth move through the system successfully. They are very honest in, you know, how they share their life stories. And I push them to be as transparent and as open and honest about their story as they can be, because their voice can help youth coming behind them to successfully navigate through this system. And so I have a group of strong youth that have been on this action board for almost a couple of years now, and we try to put them out front and let their voice be the voice for the youth at any chance we get.
One of the things I love too, we have a Citizens Advisory Council, which is adults with lived experience of homelessness.
This is the voice of Steve Skavinsky, Chief Program Effectiveness Officer at the Community Shelter Board.
And the Citizens Advisory Council and the Youth Action Board get together periodically for the holiday meal. But you hear the Citizens Advisory Council members talking about the youth they've met and that kind of that crossover learning.
And they do learn a lot. And I think the older adults, their goal is so similar to what ours is. We don't want to see the youth move over into the adult system. So if we can talk to you, if we can give you some insight and help you not make some of the same decisions at 22 that I made at 22 to prevent you from going the same route. You know, they take them on as almost like their children and grandchildren. And so they love having the youth come to events and activities where they're at. We're planning a Christmas party for next week and trying to get both boards together. And I have youth calling me saying, hey, are we having a Christmas party this year? Because they look forward to engaging and interacting with the adult system board members.
Resources for those who are unhoused or housing unstable in our community cover a lot of ground, yet we see more people entering homelessness every year. The Shelter Board has yet to release their point-in-time count for 2025, but last year they identified 2,380 people experiencing homelessness in our region, 1,866 in shelter or transitional housing, and that's a 1% increase from 2023, and about 514 living outside or in places not meant for human habitation, and that's a 3% increase from 2023. In our last episode, which I strongly encourage you to listen to if you haven't already, Steve said that if all things remain the same, we're looking at a 68% increase in homelessness, but all forecasts are predicting a decrease in funding. To make up for that funding loss, the Shelter Board is seeking about $159 million in local funding. Beyond the dollars, they need more volunteers, but holding people back from helping continues to be the stigma around homelessness. By volunteering, Twyla says, you can see through a person's situation to the person themselves, expand your worldview, and contribute to a cause that not only helps affected individuals, but our community at large.
I think people being able to just be kind and show empathy is a big thing, and that's something that a lot of people don't do. And there's a stigma associated with being homelessness, and so if your view is warped by that stigma, it's going to make it hard for you to believe that that person even needs help. And so I think education is important. I think if they took some time to volunteer at some of our shelters and work with some of our youth and get a clear understanding about these root causes of homelessness and just get that simple education and knowledge base and know that this is something that it's going to take all of us in order to help bring some resolution to it. But I think the lack of knowledge just plays such a great role, because I have had to honestly say that prior to me coming into this role in this field, there were certain viewpoints that I had about the people outside with the signs. But I learned a lot and began to expand my knowledge and expand my wanting to know more and being able to help and not hurt. And so I had to do a lot of owning up to the fact that I didn't know everything about the culture. I would also say to see beyond just what the outer appearance represents and know that there's actually a person beneath all that you see. And these people are in need of help. And there, a lot of people are not just homeless because they want to be. People are forced into a lot of times these situations. And so if you want to help, just they can always reach out to us and we can direct them as to where their help is going to be needed at.
Level With Us is brought to you by Homeport and is recorded, mixed, and edited by Lauren Sega. All sources are in the show notes. Homeport creates strong communities by developing quality, affordable homes on a cornerstone of dignity, security, and opportunity. To learn more, or if you'd like to support our mission, visit us at homeportohio.org.